Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good. We're glad you're here. Amen. I said we're delighted that you're here into this new year. Amen. A lot going on. God is what's going on. Our teens are going to be in with us today. Their children have gone. The younger children have gone to their children's church. We had a tag team plan for today with Brother Michael Medeiros, a longtime good friend and of this ministry. And he called me, and as you know, he's been battling cancer. And so he's a bit weak this morning, but I have the other part, so I'll give you the part God gave me, because it has to do with what God gave him, and it was in one word, lifestyle. Somebody shout lifestyle. We are continuing our theme for the new year that God has given us. God gave me three words. They were victory, victory, victory. Amen. Last year it seemed to be battle, battle, battle. But how many know there's a victory for every battle? There's spoils out of every battle. Amen. And regardless of what last year was, last year is over, it's gone. The Lord spoke to my heart, always gives me a word for the new year. Last year, the word was that he was going to make the impossible possible. And did he not do that all year long? Right up to December 31st, God made impossible things last year. With our last service of the year, we had people, we turned it into just a testimony service to give God glory of all the miracles that he has done along the way in 2015. It was marvelous. It was miraculous. It was such a blessing to hear what God has done, how he brought two of our brothers through severe strokes. Amen. I mean, debilitating, paralyzing, but they're here today. Amen. Praising God. Almost back to 100%. Amen. It's nothing but the grace of God. Amen. And so many other testimonies of what God had done. And he gave me the verse that I didn't think went together with this. It didn't seem right to my own understanding, but how many know we're not leaning to our own understanding? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Amen. We're not trying to figure it all out. How many know you get a brain cramp doing that? And I've had a few. Amen. And so I know he's got it figured out, so I don't have to be in control of everything. I may know he's in control. You can release it to him. He can take it, and he can handle it, and he's holding it. But the verse was Luke 6:38. Most of you know it if you've been around the church at any time. If you haven't, it is God's word to us. The first word is give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, it continues to say, men shall give to you. Well, last Sunday we had a pressed down, shaken together, running over service. God blessed us abundantly last Sunday. But he gave me the emphasis this year, not on the give part. How many have given and given and given and given? Wave at me. Come on. I mean, you've given time, you've given talent, you've given treasury. You've given sometimes beyond what you almost felt you had. And the Lord said the emphasis this year is on it shall be given unto you. God says, I've seen all the seeds you've planted. Somebody listen to me. I've seen all the giving you've done. I've seen where you've planted. I've seen all of your love and care and concern for others. And I've seen that you've done a lot and you've gotten little. And God wants you to know he's not going to leave it that way. God is a God of equality. He's a God of equity. Amen. Hallelujah. If he says, given it shall be given, we don't stop at the give and then, hey, where's the given? Anybody wonder where the given is? Oh, you haven't been there? Come on. Yes, we have. Give. The Bible says tithe. Amen. And he'll pour you out a blessing. There's not room enough to receive it. How many have received the blessing? There's not enough room to receive yet. If you haven't done that, that's still on the way. Because God can't lie. How many really believe God can't lie, that he is the truth? And he says, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I've learned on my Christian life that a lot of times I'll know the truth, but before it makes me free, it makes me mad. Amen. So speak the truth in love, but sometimes, you know, lie to me. No, I'm just kidding, but you know what I'm talking about. Amen. Let me talk about me so you don't have to think about what about your situation. And so God is on the it shall be given side this year. Amen. How many are ready to receive it shall be given? I mean, pressed down. God confirmed to say that this is his word, shaken together and running over. Shall men. God's going to use people. Whoo. Just like he's used you for people, he's going to use people now for you. Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit all over me. I said, just as God has used you for people, God is going to use people to bless you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then he added one more thing as we go to the message this morning. That was, he gave me that verse, I'm trying to remember, it's at, I believe it was James 1:17. It says, after you've suffered a while, God will establish you and restore you and bless you and do a bunch of things for you. Amen? And I said, I've never liked that verse about suffering because no, I don't know about you, but I don't like to suffer. Do you? No, no, no. And you talk about the consecration, 3 days fasting and prayer, that's suffering. Amen. But it's a good time to deny ourselves. Amen. And God gives us grace and gives us strength. And God does really special miracles every year that we go and we consecrate that time to him. Amen. But again, the emphasis was on the backside. I may know there's two sides to every coin. Amen. Amen. And the emphasis that the Holy Spirit has given to me is not on the part that after you have suffered a while, because there's probably nobody here that hasn't suffered a while. Huh? Come on, you going to talk with me or are we just going to play church? Is there anybody here that hasn't suffered a while? You can talk from the youngest to the oldest. Whether it's young people, whether it's middle, whether it's older, it doesn't matter. We've all, if you're going to live in this world, amen, he says, what, ye that live godly shall what, suffer persecution? Amen. One lady in the post office was our postal carrier across the street, staying with one of the other. She couldn't understand why people in the post office are talking about her. And when she goes, they begin to talk about her back, and she's a threat to even some of the younger ones. And she's an older lady, and she cannot quite understand. I said, well, it's Christ in you. You are a light, and you are shining. And how many know when the light shines in the darkness doesn't like that? How many shine a light in your eyes this morning? Amen. When you got up said, and it was still dark. You don't like that. Amen. Sometimes I'll do that to Julian, and he don't like it. Amen. But he's got to get up. Amen. Tell somebody you got to get up. Can't lay there all day. Amen. Got to get up. And he thank God he has the Willis blood. He gets up real good. Amen. All the girls get up real good and get ready. They look so good in such a short time. It's embarrassing. Amen. Embarrassing when it takes a guy longer to get to look halfway decent. But some of you got more to work with. So we'll just leave it right there. Amen. Hallelujah. Someone's got to work harder. Come on. I know you can't say, man, wink at me. I know you're with me in that. And so the Lord is saying on the flip side, after you've suffered a while, well, we've suffered a while, God is ready to restore and establish and strengthen. Whew, how many is ready for that? Of course we're ready for that. I said, of course we're ready for that. How many families have suffered? How many families have gone through things that are just unbelievable? I'm not just talking about yesterday or last week. I'm talking about it seemed like a lifetime. I'm telling you, God is bringing the church into a time. Hallelujah. He said the rise. He said the darkness is going to get great. He says darkness is going to cover the whole earth. Gross darkness. How many know it doesn't take much faith to believe that word? We see that happening. But he said, but don't let that discourage you too bad because the light, he says, arise and shine for the light has risen upon thee. And the darker it gets, the brighter light in you gets. Hallelujah. All right, tell somebody you did a little too stiff this morning. Tell somebody, shine, baby, shine. Shine, baby, shine. Come on. Shine, Jesus, shine. How many know that was always God's prescription to any Nero, any Herod, any Hitler, any persecution? The early church in the book of Acts, when they were crucifying Christians and lining the streets, lining the roads to Rome, amen, with Christian martyrs crucifying them. The church, early church prayed, and this was their prayer. My prayer would have been, kill them, get them. Their prayer was, Jesus, shine, Jesus, shine. Shine. Somebody shout, shine. See, if the light shines, somebody know darkness got to back off. Wherever you find darkness, you need light. Amen. And so shine, Jesus. There's a song that says, blaze, spirit, blaze. Flow, river, flow. Move in the situation. Amen. I like Paul's prayer in the book of Acts the 27th. He says, Lord, turn him from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that their sins may be forgiven. How do you pray for people that are doing such things today and still love them with the love of Christ? You've got to have the prayer that can help them. Amen. And God is saying they're in darkness. They're in the lap of the wicked one. They think they're serving God. People are killing Christians today, think that God is pleased with that. So we need some light in that darkness. And the Bible says, if the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Amen. And so we see that in the light, shine, Jesus. Shine in this situation. We need some light up in here. And who doesn't have some dark places, some dark situations? You can't live in this world and not hit some darkness from time to time. So my prayer is, shine, Jesus. Lord, open their eyes, he said. Open their eyes. You ask yourself, why can't they see? Because their eyes are shut. Who shut their eyes? The devil shut their eyes. Amen. And so he says, pray that their eyes would be opened so that they see, so that they understand. People are doing things they don't even see. They don't even hardly even think is wrong. They just keep doing stuff. You ever wonder why people keep doing things? Why are they doing that? They're blind. Open their eyes. Somebody shout, open their eyes. Somebody think of somebody right now whose eyes need to be opened. Hopefully not the one that you closed. Amen. Say, well, I know somebody's eyes need to be closed. Amen. I'm ready to do it. Yeah. All right. We won't get too personal with all that. Shine, Jesus. Shine in that life right now. You're thinking about somebody. Shine in that situation. Shine where there's darkness there. Shine where that person can't get out of that, where they can't seem to break loose from that. Amen. Where they want to, but they're not able to. Amen. Where you know what God wants for them, but you know that's not God's best for them. Amen. Shine, Jesus. Come on, shine. Somebody shout with me, shine. Hallelujah, shine. 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 And then he said, Lord, not only shine, he said, stretch forth your hand by your holy child, Jesus, and do signs, and do wonders, and do miracles. How many know signs and wonders and miracles? Oh, kick the devil's you know what? Huh? Prayed for a couple ladies' backs. You know how God heals backs through, always has for almost 40 years now. It's our 40th year of ministry, pastoral ministry, full-time pastoral ministry, which I give God the praise for. I'm still here. Amen. Hallelujah. And getting younger all the time. More hair is growing all the time. I counted at least three more this morning. Gave God the glory. Amen. Well, the Bible says he fills my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. I just went and celebrated in Tehachapi my spiritual father, my first spiritual father, when I first came out of the world, his 70th birthday last night in Tehachapi. And he said, you know, I feel better at 70 than I did at 60. And God had already given me, I didn't realize it was a prophetic word, but I realized it after he said that, that God had spoke to me in the little car that somebody said, and the last thing I said was, your best work is still ahead of you. It's never behind you. I said, it's never behind you. It's ahead of you. Whew. And I talked about his youth being renewed like the eagles. Amen. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory to God. Well, that's all right. I'll just get younger while y'all do whatever you do. Amen. You can believe it or not believe it. Amen. Hallelujah. I choose to believe it. I may choose to believe the report of the Lord. And so we want to, as we're focusing on the theme that God has given us that was so faithful each year to fulfill, we want to focus on lifestyle. Somebody shout lifestyle. That's an important thing I'm hearing in the spirit. And so I want you, if you would, just a couple scriptures. And I have a little handout this morning that I want to share with you on are you pleasing God? And I believe it will encourage you, strengthen you, will challenge you, and it will help you. Amen. You got your Bibles? Turn to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. Revelation, the fourth chapter. When you've got it, would you stand with me in honor of the author of this book? How many figured out you're in a Pentecostal church this morning? We don't want to wear you out, but we do want to stand if you'd like. If you'd like to sit, that's fine also. I always know when we've gone too far when the people are hanging over the pews. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Revelation, the fourth chapter. The 11th verse. Let's read it together. Can we read it together out of whatever translation you have? Together, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Let me read it, just to read it. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. Somebody say all things. and for thy pleasure. Whose pleasure? And for thy pleasure they are, and they were created. Hallelujah. The message is, are you pleasing God? Hallelujah. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Your word is life. You sent your word, you said, and healed them and delivered them, everyone. I want to thank you for your word. I thank you for the anointed word. I thank you for the anointing that destroys the yoke and lifts the heavy burden. I thank you one word from God can change everything. Father, let them hear that word from you. Father, speak through me. Speak over me. Speak around me. Speak in spite of me. Whatever it takes, I ask you, Father, to speak a word, personal rhema to them, that will help them in this new year. And Father, that they can take with them, that will build them up this day. That's why we have come together, to be built up, to be strengthened, to be edified, the Bible says. Let that be done, I pray, by the power and the precious Holy Spirit. I give you praise and give you glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in his presence. I got an amen from the baby before you said it. Amen. If you still got your Bibles, just I don't normally go to more than one text, but I want to read a couple of scriptures. Turn to Philippians, the second chapter. I want to continue this theme. Philippians, the second chapter. We were created for his pleasure. How many know the Bible says in his presence there is fullness of joy? Somebody say in his presence. I want you to get this. In his presence there is fullness of joy. Not in my presence. You may have joy sometimes and you may not. Amen. In your presence they may have joy and they may not sometimes. But in his presence there is fullness of joy. Come on. And there are pleasures forevermore. In his presence, pleasing God, there will be pleasures forevermore. And the whole world is looking to be pleasured, are they not? Philippians, the second chapter, the 13th verse, continue this theme. On all things are created for him and by him and for his pleasure. For his pleasure. Not my pleasure. Not your pleasure. I hope I can bring you pleasure. I hope you'll be satisfied. I hope you'll be encouraged. But it's for his pleasure. What I'm doing, what you're doing is for his pleasure, amen? Your work, you do it all as unto the Lord, is for his pleasure. And hopefully your boss will be satisfied and they will take pleasure in what you do, amen? 2:13, Philippians 2:13, it says this, for God is at work within you, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of pastor's good pleasure. What, did I mess that up? Oh, I'm sorry. Of whose good pleasure? His good pleasure. Ooh. To will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. Sometimes people are pleased with you. Sometimes they're not. But I'm sorry if you're not. But I'm here to please him. I said I'm here to please him. I'm here to please him who called me out of darkness into this marvelous light. And I found in my years that if I please him to the best of the Holy Spirit power working in me, that if I please him, more will be pleased than are not pleased with my life. How many have found that to be true? Amen. Amen. I found the opposite when I please myself. Well, we won't talk about that. That'll kill the anointing, and don't talk to my wife. Amen. Leave her alone. But we live a life of pleasing him, do we not? Living Bible says, for God is at work within you. Isn't that good? God is at work within you, helping you want to obey him. I say, God is at work within you. You may wonder if anything's working, if anything in you is working. You may wonder what's in you sometimes and sometimes. But I tell you this morning, by your being here, God is at work within you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Hallelujah. They may not always be pleased, but as long as you please him, God will take care of them. Amen. All right, some of you're just starting to get it, starting to wake up now, and I like that. Say, God will take care of them if I take care of pleasing him. Yeah, I please him. God will take care of that. And if I take care of where I'm not pleasing him or where I'm not pleasing someone else, sometimes we need to take care of that. Amen. Living Bible says, for it is God that's work within you. Thank God is something's working in us. Amen. God helping you. I mean, oh, God is helping you. Want to obey him. And then helping you to do what he wants. Glory to God. I mean, no, this is not on us. It's on him. He's giving us the want to. He's helping us. I don't claim that I'm doing anything by my own strength or power. There's no good thing within us. It's all him. Are you hearing me? It's God working to will and to do and giving us the want to obey him and helping us to do what he wants. Are you doing what he wants? No, let me ask you again. Are you doing what he wants? Or are you doing what you want? Kind of got a little bit antsy in there, ain't it? I thought we had the pest control people took care of any ants or anything. Amen. Have we even thought about this? I mean, no, we get going so far in life, we don't even hardly articulate or think about it. I got so much else. Am I pleasing God? That's a question. And why do you have to ask me that question the second Sunday of the new year, Pastor? Because God's asking it. I said God is asking it. Young people, are you pleasing God? Well, I hadn't thought about it. I want my boyfriend to please me. I want my girlfriend to please me. Come on. Whoever had a boyfriend that you don't want to please you, you won't have him very long, will you? Or a girlfriend. One more scripture. Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians, the Apostle Paul reminds us of all God has done for us and what he's given to us. Amen. All God has done for us and what he's given to us. Hallelujah. How many of you still have presents with your name on it that you have not unwrapped? God has presents for you that you have not received yet that have your name on them. Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Somebody say, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. Somebody shout, holy. And without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children of Jesus Christ to himself, according to the, what? I didn't hear you. I still didn't hear you. Good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That right there takes care of rejection. Amen. In whom we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins. That's the greatest thing you can receive right there, is forgiveness of sins. I said that's the greatest thing you can receive, is the forgiveness of sins, that their sins may be forgiven. If they don't get their sins forgiven, somebody's got to pay for them. Jesus paid the price. But if you don't receive it, it will do you no good, and you will, and I will have to pay the price if we do not receive his free gift of forgiveness of sins. Amen. I can't work for it. I can't be good enough to have my sins forgiven. I just need to repent, confess, and say, God, forgive me. Amen. And God says, I will, I have, amen. According to the riches of his grace, forgiveness of sins, wherein he hath abounded toward us, in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Yeah, sometimes it's a mystery. According to his what? His who? Some of you, his good what? I didn't hear you again. My, you're quiet this morning. Good, hello? You'd be shouting louder about your team later today. Amen. Be falling out.
Yeah.
As they do the good pleasure of your will. Amen. This is which he hath purposed in himself. There's that good pleasure again. Amen. And Luke 12, you don't need to turn there, but Luke 12, 32, Jesus says to us, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So we're hearing a lot about pleasure. God wants you to be pleased. That's a new thought. As much as you want to be pleased, God wants you to be pleased. Amen. And he's created us to please him. In your little bulletin there, I want to just share the little handout there. If you will pull out, if you would, please. Are you pleasing God? I know you probably put that one away. hid that one. We hid it far back as we could get it in the bulletin. Amen. Because it's quite a challenging thought. Am I pleasing him with my eating habits? Am I pleasing him with my giving habits, my money? Am I pleasing him with my time, with my talents? Am I pleasing him with my life? Because he's the one who called us. He's the one who chose us. It is for his pleasure. And that is a new thought for a lot of folks. Maybe not here, but in a lot of places. Because there is a lot of people doing their pleasure. Come on. Stay with me. How many have met people doing their pleasure and it has not pleased you one bit? Come on, talk to me, somebody. You know they're not doing God's pleasure. You know they're pleasing themselves. It's all about them. Woo! I hit a nerve there. How pleasing it is when it's not all about them, when they make it about you. And how many know when we make it about others, God makes it about us? Given it shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And the one thing I love, I've told you before, I hate it when I've heard so many times, it's not about you, it's not about you, it's not about you. And I'd be like, shut up. I know it ain't about me, but you ain't got to be so offensive about it. Come on. And they never give me the other side, because it is really all about you. Come on. It really is all about you and you and you and you. Because he said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen. It is about you. He did all this for you. And he says, if you'll make it about me, and I'll tell you again, till we make it all about him, he can't make it all about us. We have to make it about us to the degree that we don't make it about him. So I'm trying to make it about him, pleasing him. Really kind of a selfish thing, I guess, but it's a reciprocal. I please him, I'm pleased. I please my wife, she pleases me. I may know the streets of Lancaster, Palmdale, are usually two-way streets. Yeah, some of you drive like there's only one way, but I understand that. Yeah. And I have gone down one-way streets the other way. My wife is, yes, did I do it intentional? Well, I just backed up a little bit on the freeway. Amen. I hate to confess my faults, but we'll have time for you later. Amen. If we have time. I'm sure we'll run out of time before that happens. You'll make sure I run out of time for that. Yeah. I don't do that often. Thank God for angels watching over us. I haven't done it in a long time, have I, honey? No. No. Yeah. She's very pleased about that. Amen. She wants to keep all her hair. Okay, call the little white man, take him away. How many have got you, are you pleasing God, insert? You got to wave it at me. How many gave yours to the one next to you and you really don't want to hear this? Amen. You just rather go home. All right. It's not long, so it's, amen. This is a good brother right here, Brian McCallum, and just kind of a little handout for what I believe God is, some of what God is saying. God will say much more than I can say today. It is entitled, as you know, Are You Pleasing God? And he comes from 2 Corinthians, which I didn't read, but 2 Corinthians 5:9, King James Version. The Apostle Paul wrote that he and his fellow workers made it their goal to live, speak, and act in a manner that was well-pleasing to God. Notice three things there. The goal was to live, say live, speak, and act. We can get one of those and the other two can be woefully lacking. We can speak it, but I may know if we're going to speak it, we need God's power and help to live it. God will help us do what pleases him. We know enough Christians, so-called Christians, that is talking it but not living it. And I have no respect, and you have no respect, and would have no respect, especially for a leader who talked it but didn't walk the talk. Because talk, as they say, is cheap, 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 cheap. Amen. And so it says three areas. He said they made it their goal. I may know we need some goals. To live, speak, and act in a manner that is well-pleasing to God. And what I'm doing, is it pleasing to God? In how I am acting, is it pleasing to God? In how I am treating my wife or my husband, is it pleasing to God? In how I am relating to my children, is it pleasing to God? And how I'm relating to the congregation and the flock God has given me, is it pleasing to God? And what I'm doing pleasing me more than pleasing God? And see, the answer to that, you will never know, because it's between me and God. Amen. And that's where it should be. Yeah. I hate nosy preachers. Come on. Well, let's bring it down a little closer where you live. I hate nosy people. Well, you all angels in here today. I could tell you. Wow. You all got little noses. I'm the only one. Their lifestyle. Oh, there's that word lifestyle. God is talking to us about our lifestyle. Revolved around bringing glory to his kingdom. In verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. A lot of times we don't want to look at things because we don't want to deal with that. And we just feel like if we don't look at it, we don't read it, we don't go there, we don't have to deal with it, it just out of sight, out of mind. But how many know we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of what we've done, good or bad? That is not the white throne judgment for the sinners, for those that never received Christ. Amen. The judgment seat of Christ is for the believer. It's what you did with Christ after you received him. You are going to be rewarded. There are going to be rewards for what you let God do. Amen. And I believe how you allowed and pleased God, because he says the works, there's going to be works that are burned up, wood, hay, and stubble, and there's going to be gold, and only what's left that's good is going to be left. And I'm not sure that's going to happen at there. I think some of that's happening now. Amen. I could be wrong there, so don't, I'm not, that's just my deal, not necessarily the word of God. But we must all appear. See, we don't want to think about this, we don't hear much about this, but how many know this is not all there is? This is all training for reigning. This is all a preparation time. Some are going to get more rewards than others. And then God said, I'm going to wipe away all tears. You know why? Because somebody's going to be crying because he got more than I did. She got more than I did. I'm glad just to get in. Somebody said, you glad to get in by the skin of your teeth. Well, last time I checked, there wasn't any skin on anybody's teeth. Unless I bit somebody, which I don't do. He said not to bite and devour one another. Yeah. Amen. I mean, don't just want to get in by the skin of your teeth. You got to be careful with this. If you read the Bible, it says, if those that are saved scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly appear? This is a daily thing. It's not just something we say 10 years ago and then we just go on and please ourselves and live our life and do what we want to do. Are you hearing me? This is a daily. Whew. And how many know it's getting closer now? The time is getting shorter. We're going to answer quicker than we ever have before. We're going to be standing before that judgment seat sooner than we realize. Some will stand before it, or at least be in line for it, before we get there. Hopefully not you, and hopefully not me. I want to be here as long as I can, don't you? So if I fall right here, do not come over me and say he was a nice pastor. We loved him. He was great. But he is kind of old, and Lord bless him and receive him. No! Lord, heal him right now. Rebuke death off of him in Jesus' name. Because if I swore to God, I would reach up, I don't care if I was unconscious, and slap you silly if you pray like that. I will come back from the dead just for you. If you can't pray no prayer of faith, don't pray nothing. The only time I don't pray a prayer of faith is if I'm in a hospital or something and somebody is going. It's when I hear the Holy Spirit saying, it's their time. But other than that, if I don't hear that, sure, I'm praying for you. I don't care if they're 100 years old. Amen. Jesus put them all out. Amen. Paul put them out, said, so I can pray some faith over here. Hallelujah. When I'm in trouble, I need somebody with some faith. Bring them back. Don't be talking, well, I guess it's his time. You don't know what my time is. Come on. Hallelujah. All right, I'm off that little hoppity horse. I just want you to know if I fall down, you know, somebody do something. One day, somebody say one day, when we stand before Jesus, and we will either be well-pleasing to him or a disappointment. Our works will either be made in heavenly things and valuable, or they will be carnal and of no value. The Apostle Paul and his fellow workers lived every day conscious of this reality. How many know there's a lot of people that are in the hereafter today that never had an inkling that they would not be here thousands last year? Gone. Our works will either be made in heavenly things and valuable, or they'll be carnal and no value. The Apostle Paul and his fellow workers lived every day conscious of this reality. They lived every day conscious of this reality. I don't think we're living every day conscious of this, right? Because nobody's telling us. Amen. We're just trying to make it, trying to pay the bills, and that's good. But I may know we're living for more than that. We're living to one day stand before the King of Glory. We're living one day for God to say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. You did the best you could. Amen. You may not have done what everybody else could, but you did what you could. I mean, I believe that's all God's going to really ask. Did you do what you could when you could do it? Did you do your best? And if you didn't, did you get it under the blood and ask me to forgive you for it? Aren't you glad for everything that's under the blood? Woo! You don't think it's under the blood? Ask David and Samson and all those guys that are in God's heroes, Hall of Fame. Everything bad. God never lists anything bad in their life. Isn't that something? Doesn't list anything about David, you know, taking Bathsheba, checking her out on the balcony. He had his little pornography session. Amen. Oh, you didn't think they had it back there. Oh, yeah, they had it. Yeah. Yeah. And then he tried to work it so the husband wouldn't know. You know the story. And he had him killed. David, the shepherd boy. The man of God. The giant killer. A man after God's own heart. If that's after God's own heart, whoa, wait a minute. That wasn't after God's heart. What was after God's heart is that he, when he was confronted, he repented. That's what's after God's heart. When you feel that little thing says, oh, God, I missed it. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Now, may know, you don't have to do penance. You don't have to beat yourself. He just said, God, oh, create in me a clean heart, oh, God. Renew a right spirit in me. Don't cast me away from your Holy Spirit. And you know that right after that, God did it just like that, and he moved right on. He didn't let the devil put guilt on him. He didn't let the devil pull him down and say, oh, how could I have done such a thing? That is true, you know, but how many know we're all capable of doing all kinds of things? I'm not saying you would, but we're capable. We have that old nature. Thank God for the new nature. Glory to God. And so he's saying, lived with the consciousness of this reality, especially in this day in which we're living. We don't know if we get another day. We got mad men in North Korea doing things that apparently could reach you. I hope they can't, but if they could or somebody set something off, we're living in a day where we have no guarantee of tomorrow. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just telling you, I live every day as if it's my last day, and I plan like I got forever. I get up, I thank God for a new day. I'm because there's clouds out there, it ain't no clouds. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God I woke up. Thank God my wife woke up. Thank God my children are okay. Thank God they're still alive. Thank God one of them got out from celebrating her birthday in Vegas before somebody went off and run everybody down. Just got out. Could have been her. Amen. We don't know, so I thank God for every day. Tomorrow's not promised to me. By the time I get to tomorrow, it'll be today. Huh? So, Lord, thank you for this day. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I have no guarantee tomorrow, but I thank God that my future is already secure. Live or die, we win. Do I want to die? No. If you come, you try to come in my house, and you try to come and take my wife, you will go back out faster than you came in. Huh? It's come to a day now that almost any assembly we have coming together, somebody needs to be armed. Isn't that a shame what we've come to? And churches are now doing that. And we have protection here too. Those that are licensed. Amen. We have a responsibility to protect the flock. Are you hearing me? I wondered about God. Well, we're just trusting you. There's something about just trusting God and doing what God tells you. And I didn't know if God was telling me that 2 or 3 months ago. So I took it to the board and I said, I believe God is speaking to me that we need to make sure that we protect this flock. We're out here a little bit, but even if we weren't, I think God is saying this, but I'm not sure. But pray with me and let's see what God, and God was saying, yes, that's what you've got people that I've given to you. in the church. So be ready. Amen. How many know there's no glory in somebody shooting up the place? Come on. Sadly, we've come to that place, but I'll tell you what, it's going to be a place where, whether school or somebody better be armed because they look for zone free. Glory to God. You say, well, all you got to do is say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. And yeah, that's good. I like that. I say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you with your shotgun. How's that? That's better. When they hear that, they don't like that sound. Amen. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, I don't think that's very spiritual. Well, okay, I can, I'll entertain that for a minute. But how many know evil has to be restrained? Evil has to be restrained. All throughout the Word of God, you'll find evil being restrained by God and His people. Yes, there is a time that you believe God and thank God He's taken care of us and watched over us. And there's a time that you can just take the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus and tell them, stop in the name of Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. And I'm going to use all that too. I'm going to use everything you got. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So the Apostle Paul, they're living with that consciousness and the workers there. And every day they made the choice to be pleasing to God. Every day they made the choice. It's a choice. Serve God or serve myself. If you're not serving yourself, sometimes others want you to give your life to serve them. Come on. First I want to serve God, then I serve you. I serve you because I serve God. Serving you by serving Him. Come on. I'm not going to serve you more than I serve Him. Anything I do is going to come out of serving Him. Amen? Not your slave. Not your lackey. Huh? We already talked about last week not being the nursery attendant. Amen. So how do we become well-pleasing to God? That's a good question, huh? They come before Him, nothing of value. They didn't want to disappoint their Lord, the Savior, by coming before Him with nothing of value to show for their lives. That's got to be a terrible thought, terrible thing, to be able to come before God and not have anything to show. So how do we become well-pleasing to God? Colossians 3:14, King James, New Living King, says, above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. When we walk in love, we are bonded to perfection. Or we could say we are bonded to the whole Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be bonded? Let me give you an illustration. When I was a pilot with the U.S. Air Force, I flew the SR-71, or the Blackbird as it was known. I may have seen that in the valley here. I've seen the Blackbird. It's a beautiful, beautiful plane. This plane could fly 85,000 feet and fast, 2,100 miles per hour. This height and speed caused the plane to get very hot in certain areas. In order to withstand this heat, how many get hot in certain areas? People can get you hot in certain areas. You can be cool in here as a cucumber and walk out that door and, God, not here, the church down the street. But I've been in churches where they was praising God in here and cussing them out there. I don't put them down. I just know the flesh is the flesh and I mean, if you put enough pressure on anybody, they'll cuss. Huh? With your holy self. Oh, you don't think you'll cuss? You get enough pressure on you. You remember that darn cat of mine? Yeah. That's the cat that made the preacher cuss. Yeah. 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 That cat is no longer around. I didn't send her to cat heaven. She just kind of went there. Amen. I don't know how she got there. I really don't. I didn't. Because I'm an animal lover. Are we all in this together? And so here we are. The plane is getting very hot in certain areas. Life is like that. In order to withstand this heat without falling apart, amen, the SR-71 had to be built differently. Its assembly method was bonding in the true sense of the word, bonding. Along the edges and the parts that were bonded together, the titanium metal was located to more than, was heated to more than 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. I used to sell titanium metal in the steel business. It is expensive because it is the top of the line. And when those pieces were allowed to cool, they were no longer separate. The intense heat had allowed the molecules of one part to merge with the other part. They were now one, and the bond was actually stronger than the original pieces were. If such good work can be done by mere man, how much more can the work of redemption forever bind God's people to Himself? How much more can the work of redemption strengthen God's people to do the work of heaven? There's a saying, you probably heard it, that you can be so heavenly minded you're no earthly good. And then the other part is that is that you're so earthly minded, you're no heavenly good. Come on. Where are we in this? We need to get a balance here. Huh? I said, huh? I'm losing my voice because I told you I'm in my fifth puberty. Amen. You don't believe me. Psalms 103, his youth is renewed like the eagles. You'll believe me one day. Amen. And Jesus Christ bore all this, bore all mankind, bore for all mankind all the heat that Satan could muster against him. Amen. He bonded us to himself. Glory to God. Somebody ought to shout there. And when he arose from the grave victorious, there's that word victory again, over all the works of the enemy. All the works of the enemy. His victory became our victory. Ha! Because we are one. His victory became our victory. Woo! Victory unto victory unto victory. All this defeat, all of this other stuff that we've seen in the body of Christ, it's coming to an end. Mark it down. God will have a victorious church without spot or wrinkle. I believe that for 40 years, and I'm sticking with it. That's why I know the church, God is not done with the church. God is moving in the church. It's going to be a glorious church. How many have seen some unglorious, non-glorious things in the church? Come on, talk to me. Sometimes we've walked away from the church because of what we've seen and what we've experienced. And I understand that. I walked away for 10 years. Told you about that. I threw the baby out with the bathwater. But you got to just throw the bathwater, that dirty water. Respect the office. If you can't respect the officer, respect the office. If you can't honor the officer, honor God for the office. Honor thy mother and thy father. Offer them for the office. Honor them for the office. God used them to get you here. If you can't honor them for anything else, then thank God they got together. And I just kind of popped out. Amen. Because some mothers and fathers were messed up and were not honorable. Come on, somebody knows what I'm talking about. And you want long life, it's the first promise. It's the first commandment with promise. So that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. How many want to live long on the land? Honor your mother and your father. Don't let the devil get you into cussing. Your parents, no matter how, whatever. I tell you, there's a lot of stuff goes on. I know it did in my young life and set me on a course that caused a lot of suffering. And I lived under a cloud for a lot of years with that hatred and that bitterness and that resentment for ruining my life. And how many know when you have that, you just ruin your life more? But thank God for God. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. He became our victory. Somebody shout victory. I'm telling you, you're going to get some victories that you haven't had. They're coming your way. You see, Jesus destroyed all the works of the devil. We know that. That means that we who believe on him have the power to put off all the enemy's lies and attempts to deceive us. We've got to remember, Satan is a liar, and there is no truth in him. So when he tries to turn up the heat on us with lies and devices, we can just dismiss him using the word in the name of Jesus. Amen? All power and authority are in his wonderful name. It's amazing the power of life and death is in our tongue. It's amazing some of the bad habits we have in what we say. One of the things that has amazed me most, and that's not to put anybody down because it can happen to all of us, and I did it too until God, you know, showed me better, is we, if we're not careful, instead of believing that God has given us power over all the power of the devil, and with his stripes we're healed, we'll be sick on Friday and confess that we're going to be sick on Sunday too. Pastor, I'm not feeling good today. Well, let's pray. And I don't think I'm going to be there Sunday. Oh, you planning on being sick Sunday, are you? You're not the only one, sister, that's ever said that. You don't know who I'm talking to right now. She knows who I'm talking to. Beautiful sister in the Lord. Amen. I'm not planning on being sick tomorrow. I may not be feeling too good today, but I plan on feeling real good tomorrow. And before the day's over, I plan on feeling better. Because I'm confessing this thing's leaving me faster than it came in Jesus' name. Now, if it don't leave as fast as I want, then we're going to have to work on it some more. I said we're going to have to work on it some more. Because if there's a problem, it's not with him. It's somewhere in between here. Between here and here. It's either me or it's the devil or something going on here, but he's a healer. And I'm not planning on being sick. And I'm not planning on dying from heart failure. I don't care if everybody in the family died from it at 10 years old. Well, they couldn't die at 10 years because you wouldn't have got here. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about, unless it was real, well. Hallelujah. Amen. The devil is a liar. Somebody shout, the devil is a liar. Yeah. Yeah, there's no truth in him. So when he turns up the heat, you've got all power and authority in his name. We've got to start talking more. Amen. Speaking what God has said. When you're found doing good works here on earth through the authority of Jesus' name, you are being well-pleasing to Almighty God. I may know that's well-pleasing when you do good works in his name. Woo! Some of you ought to hug yourself today because you've done some really good works. I mean, you ought to just hug yourself and say, Lord, you did that through me. That's so good. Doesn't it feel good when you do something for somebody else? Isn't that a good feeling? How many are wondering, when are they going to do something good for me? Yeah. Just keep giving. It's going to be given. Amen. Hallelujah. It's great. That's God. Don't be tired in well-doing, the Bible says. Don't be weary in well-doing. In due season. Due season. Somebody say in due season. You're going to reap if you don't faint. If you don't give up. Don't faint. Don't give up. Keep doing good. I know they may not appreciate it. They may not like it. They may throw it back in your face. You keep doing good. Keep pleasing God. Watch what God does. Don't you be weary in well-doing. In due season, you're going to reap if you don't faint. Some of that due season kind of long. Huh? I may have had a due season that's, whoo. And you've been tempted to give up doing good. Oh, you want a hot breakfast, do you? Here, let me light your cornflakes on fire. Amen. Yeah. Trying to help a brother out. Amen. When you're found doing good, well-pleasing to God. At the same time, you're laying up gold. Somebody say gold. Silver. Precious stones for that great day in heaven. And Jesus will reward you for your faith and obedience sown on earth. Let's not be so earthly minded that we forget this is not all there is. This is just the warm up. This is just the beginning. 70 years compared to eternity, not even a drop in the bucket. Amen. We're going to have eternity. I can't even compare eternity. I have nothing to compare it with. All I know, it's a long time. And they say you're going to be about 30, 33 years old in heaven. Isn't that great? I thank God every day I walk by the mirror. You're going to be 33 one day again. Yeah. You're going to have a full head of hair just like you had. Yeah. With the pompadour and everything. Remember that? Yeah. I remember that. That was a long time ago. Yeah. Hallelujah. A little vanity there, but don't worry about that. Amen. I wouldn't care if I went to heaven bald headed. Praise God. Long as I go. I said, as long as I go. Hallelujah. Are you pleasing God? That's the question God is asking you today through me. He's asking, are you pleasing God? And yes, I am, Pastor. I'm pleasing God. I know this. That's pleasing to God, and that's pleasing to God. But is there something that's not pleasing to God? I always ask God. God added a third thing to forgive us for our sins of commission, omission, things that we should have done we didn't do. Things of commission, things we did, we know we did. But then he added a third one. He said, it's sins of disposition. I'd never seen that. I never thought about that one before. How many have ever met some Christians that are meatier than snakes? They haven't been delivered. I'm not saying they're not born again. They probably were mistreated in their childhood, and they've never been set free from it. May not have been able to forgive whatever it is, but whew, I've met some mean Christians. Huh? And how many know that's never good? That's never right. God wants us to have his love and be loving. Amen. And kind. Gentle. Something about a gentleness that is, his gentleness hath made me great. Hallelujah. Are we pleasing God? I want you to take an inventory just as we bow our heads and we close this service. I'm not going to linger and, you know, run it in the ground. In Jesus' name, Lord. Father, starting with me. The under-shepherd that you put here, Lord, am I pleasing God? Lord, I can honestly say in some areas I am. I know that you're pleased. You've told me sometimes. You've impressed me that you're pleased with that. But, Lord, I know there's some other areas that I could make some improvement in. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And, Father, I pray that in the quietness of our hearts right now, in light of eternity, in light of the world in which we are now living and are faced with on a daily basis, I want to thank you for what you're speaking to every heart, to every son, every daughter. Are you pleasing God? And if you're not, let's ask God to help us to be more pleasing in that area. Lord, help me to be pleasing to you. Give me the power of your Holy Spirit. You give me to to be able to live this and to will to want to do it, to obey you. If this is not pleasing, I want you to take that right now and I want you to give it to God. Whatever you know in your life is not pleasing. Lord, I know that's not pleasing. That temper, that outburst, those feelings, some of those things that I'm dealing with, Lord, I know those things are not pleasing. And Lord, I ask you to help me. Forgive me. And Lord, this year, may this be the best year, the greatest year of my life. Father, may you help me to live every day that if I should step into eternity, I could stand before you and know that I've done my best to please you. Not perfect, but mature, maturing in you. But I thank you for your pleasure. I thank you for letting me feel your pleasure. I thank you for Daniel. I think of Daniel, and he said he's a man beloved. You are beloved, Daniel. God loves us, and he wants you to know you're beloved of him. And he sees your giving. He sees what you do. And he's going to reward you one day, not just there, but he has a way of rewarding us here many times too. Given, it shall be given, and it shall be given is where we're going. And Lord, I thank you for that. And I bind every devil that hinders that, that would thwart that, that would try to pull us back into whatever. I rebuke you, Satan, and the Lord rebuke you. In Jesus' name, oh God, thank you for living in us. Thank you for helping us to will and to do of your good pleasure. Whew, we're here for your pleasure. We get up every day for your pleasure. Be pleased with us. There's such a great feeling when you're pleased, when we know that a father or mother is pleased with what we do. Such a great feeling as children. There was such a terrible feeling when we, no matter what we did, it was not pleasing, and we grew up with some of that. But Lord, that's not how you are. You're a God that's perfect. You're a Father who's perfect. And the Holy Spirit, a mother, part of the mother, part of God, the many-breasted one, the nourisher, the comforter. We thank you that you move on both sides of the aisle, male and female, woman and man and woman. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We pray this year will be a year like none other, that we will live and move and realize the hour in which we're living and the times in which you have privileged us to be in. We know that you're coming. We know this world is going where it's going, but we thank you that we know where we're going. In Jesus' name. Ooh, thank you, Lord, for that. If you're thankful for that, stand with me right now. You're thankful you know where you're going. I'm on my way to heaven. Hallelujah. My sins are forgiven. And, Lord, I'm trying to please you every day. Amen. How many have a son or a daughter? If they try to please you, you're happy about that. Amen. I may not always get it done, but I'm happy when they try to please. Amen. And, Father, I know you're happy when we try to please as your children. Father, bless each one right now in the sound of my voice. Holy Spirit, I ask you to close this service. I thank you for your promise for this year of victory unto victory unto victory. I thank you, Father, for what you're doing to press it down and shake it together and run it over. I thank you've seen all the giving. You've even seen our suffering. And I believe this is to be the greatest year for your church that we have ever known. It may culminate in the rapture. It may culminate with you coming, catching us away. Father, however that translates, we know that it will happen because the Bible says it will. We don't have all our eschatology maybe down and know exactly how it will all transpire in the time, but we know that you said to look up, for our redemption is drawing nigh. You said to be ready for your coming, for in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And Lord, I thank you for blessing each one with good health. We speak good health. We speak healing. Father, we thank you this is their year, those that have dealt with sickness or disease. We thank you this is their year for healing. This is their hour. This is their moment for victory. Glory to God. You're healing people that have had long-term disease and sickness. People getting out of wheelchairs more than ever before. We're believing, God, that it's coming a time where everyone's going to get out of that wheelchair, that we'll believe that we'll be in your presence, Lord, and come into where you're at. We're believing, God, for our families, our homes. Believing, God, for our loved ones, our spouses, our children. Father, we believe that you're working, that you're moving now. That this is the hour. This is the hour for victory in their lives. This is the hour, Father, for you to move in them for all the giving that has been done by that mother, that father, for there to be a reward. Oh, God, I speak it into every home this morning. I speak it for every mother, every father, regardless of where they may be at today or what's going on. I thank you for this new year of victory for them and everything connected to them. I thank you the devil is a liar. Jesus is Lord. And he's moving now in great power to unify the church. The enemy is already unified greater. So we must come into oneness with you, Lord. Don't have to all agree, but we've got to come together. We thank you for what you're doing to bring us together. Thank you for the safety and protection that you afford us in the flock, in the body. We thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for every brother, every sister, every part today. Needful, needed. I don't care what it may look like they're needed. The weakest is needed, Lord. We thank you for that one, Lord. Strengthen them. Encourage them, help them. Father, where the enemy seems to want he's going to have his way, Lord, move in such a great way this year that we will see that brother, that sister, go from wherever they've been to total victory, unto victory, unto victory. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen. Why don't we give the Lord a praise? Amen. Just a praise offering. Lord, thank you for victory. Somebody shout victory. Hallelujah. Victory in Jesus. Lord, thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come. Those of you that would like prayer this morning, please slip out. We won't hold the congregation. We pray you'll have a wonderful new year. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Those that would like prayer, if you'll come to the altar, we'd be glad to pray for you and agree. We believe God answers prayer. And so we agree together, lay hands on you, anoint you with oil, and pray the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith will save the sick. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Thank you for coming. We love you.